Hello and welcome to Press TV's Debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Does making America great again come via Riyadh? Well, it seems to be the case when listening to U.S. President Donald Trump talk about Saudi Arabia, as American intelligence reports that Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman is responsible for the murder of Saudi dissident journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Trump says the U.S. will remain a steadfast partner of Saudi Arabia. What does it all mean? Stay with us as we take a look at it all on this debate.
The U.S. president finally reacts to Friday's CIA report about the murder of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi that had pointed to the Saudi crown prince's role in the killing.
The CIA has looked at it. They've studied it a lot. They have nothing definitive. And the fact is, maybe he did, maybe he didn't.
Donald Trump made the comments hours after issuing a statement in which he renewed his support for Saudi Arabia. Trump pledged that Washington will remain, quote, a steadfast partner of the Arab Kingdom. The U.S. president also said he would not cancel military contracts with the kingdom, as he believes such a, quote, foolish move would only benefit Russia and China. Trump has stressed that Washington needs Riyadh to fight against Tehran, while he once again accused Iran of destabilizing the Middle East. Trump's remarks drew an immediate reaction from Tehran.
Mr. Trump bizarrely devotes the first paragraph of his shameful statement on Saudi atrocities to accuse Iran of every sort of malfeasance he can think of. Perhaps we are also responsible for the California fires because we didn't rake the forests, just like the Finns do.
Analysts believe that Trump's accusations against Iran are meant at deflecting global attention away from the Saudi crimes.
This is his milieu, and Iran is the foil. So he wants to distract attention from the Saudis, he points to Iran. He wants to distract attention from the Israelis, he points to Iran.
Trump's defiant reaction to the killing of Khashoggi comes despite international condemnation of the murder and growing calls to hold those involved accountable. Following a meeting with his American counterpart, the Turkish foreign minister said Ankara could formally seek a United Nations investigation into Khashoggi killing if cooperation with Saudi Arabia comes to an impasse. Trump is also facing calls by Democratic and Republican lawmakers for an immediate suspension of Washington's arms sales to the Saudis and imposition of sanctions on, quote, appropriate members of the royal family. However, there are no signs that the Trump administration will change its stance, since, as a U.S. top diplomat has said, backing Saudis in the murder case promotes U.S. national security interests.
I'd like to welcome guests to the program out of Washington, D.C., columnist of The Hill, Brent Badowski, and out of London, Research Al-Bayan Center for Planning and Studies, Catherine Shachdam. Thank you both for being with us. Let's start this off in D.C. And Brent, is there a split in the elite in the United States when it comes to Saudi Arabia?
Well, actually, not as much as you'd think. The split is between just about everybody on the one hand versus Trump, who seems to be interested in making apologies for the crown prince and whatever they do. So there is, number one, a Democratic Congress coming in the House of Representatives. Nothing will happen that the Democratic House of Representatives doesn't agree with in terms of spending any money or legislating anything. Number two, there is major, within the Republican Party, disagreement with what Trump is saying about Saudi Arabia from prominent Republicans. It was a Republican senator just said hours ago that he's making Saudi Arabia great. So I think things are right now in a state of tremendous change and flux and uncertainty to see how this plays out. But we have to come to grips, really, with all of these civil wars, inner wars, culture wars, proxy wars. I'm against everybody's policy right now. We have to do something in all of these countries that helps all of the people and not all of the powers having wars with each other. And I have to say that what I'd like to see is a ceasefire in Yemen. I'd like to see a ceasefire where everybody stops killing each other. And my proposal is, once they get a ceasefire, there should be 100,000 United Nations peacekeeping troops to stop Yemenis from killing each other and to stop outsiders from killing Yemenis, period. No matter who they are, no matter what side they're on, I'm against all of it.
Okay. Well, Catherine, let me get you in on this discussion. I mean, interesting comments by Brent to like to see everyone stop killing each other. It's interesting, though, that the United States, I mean, if they had not supported Saudi Arabia, perhaps Saudi would not be involved in Yemen in the way that they are. But besides that, when we look at what the CIA has done and has pointed the finger at Mohammed bin Salman, why do you think that Trump is saying that perhaps he did it and perhaps he did not? Is there a split between, for example, the American intelligence and Trump, or what's your evaluation of this?
Well, I think I'm not sure there's a split so much. I think it has more to do with the fact that Donald Trump is being Donald Trump, and that he's basically, you know, shooting from the hip, and he decided long ago that Mohammed bin Salman was the guy that he would back up in Saudi Arabia and that would, you know, promote his own interest as far as America is concerned. And so this is who he's backing. And we have also to remember that the Zionist lobby, essentially, is also very much in favor of Mohammed bin Salman, you know, staying in power and seizing the crown altogether in Saudi Arabia. Otherwise, it would not have been allowed, for example, back a year ago to literally declare war on the royal family and other very rich Saudi, just, you know, for the purposes of seizing their money. It would not have been allowed to continue the war crime that he's committing in Yemen, because they have been committed under his watch and directly following his orders. So I think that what we see today is just basically, you know, the result of the policies that Washington formulated, in particular Donald Trump, and the fact that he wants to continue to back them up regardless. Mm-hmm. And he essentially gave, you know, he absolved Mohammed bin Salman of not only the Khashoggi's murder, but any other crime that he would commit or might even imagine to commit, for that matter, because, you know, you kill someone so evidently, it's a clear case of rendition. It's a murder, it's premeditated murder, and yet no one is saying anything of real value in terms of political consequences. And so pretty much, you know, now he could just go about and do it again.
Okay, well, Brent, when Trump says that we are not going to give up hundreds of billions of dollars for this, does that mean that the U.S. is for sale and that any dictator or butcher paying the right price can actually have Washington on its side?
Well, I think most Americans, Democrats, Republicans, independents, believe that money should never buy the integrity and honor and human rights position of the United States, no matter who is offering the money and no matter what the crime is. That is a particular Trumpism, a way he thinks, that most Republicans and Democrats flat out disagree with.
Is it though,
now,
is it Brent,
strategic...
Brent, is it, you say it's a particular Trumpism. I mean, we're looking at the Khashoggi case, and of course it's more brutal than usual, more blatant than usual, because it was done in a consulate. But this is nothing new for Saudi Arabia. And you say that it's a Trumpism. We saw it under Obama. We have seen it under so many different administrations in the United States, basically taking it, looking in the opposite direction at Saudi Arabia. I mean, we can start George W. Bush's time in 9/11. So is it a Trumpism or is it American policy? But this time there's a little distaste in the mouth of some Congress people because it actually took place in a consulate and actually right there for everyone to see.
Now, the fact of the matter is, anyone who's honest would agree that most countries that are involved in these things sometimes do things that are based on financial interest or geopolitical interest. That is common, unfortunately. That is sad, unfortunately, and it is wrong, unfortunately. And that's true of the United States, Saudi Arabia, Russia, Syria, Iran, and almost every other country that is involved in any of these. When I said a Trumpism, what I meant was, on issue after issue around the world and domestically, he seems to think that the dollar, money, is the decider on all issues. There are many Republicans and Democrats who just disagree with that. Yes, the United States and Russia and Saudi Arabia and Iran and other countries do things based on money or profit or influence or power or whatever. That is certainly true. But what's different about this is the crassness, the inhumanity. To say that maybe he committed this ugly murder, or maybe he didn't, but we have money at stake, I don't think there's 2% of the American people are proud of that kind of comment from their president, and I think most people disagree with that. It's too crass, too ugly, and not necessary.
Okay.
We need to solve problems, not go to the highest bidder, okay?
All right. What about that, Catherine? It's too crass, and perhaps it has been, but is it that Trump actually understands the real situation regarding the relationship between Saudi Arabia and the United States? And, of course, he's not very diplomatic in how he presents it like previous presidents. It is a symbiotic relationship. Washington needs Saudi petrodollars to sustain itself, to carry out its policies in the region. The Saudis need the U.S. to protect them and cause the international community to basically look the other way when they do basically whatever they want to do. Your take on this, Catherine?
Well, I'm going to say, to kind of follow up on what you just said, I actually disagree. I think that America has always carried on this kind of policy. The issue that we have here is that Donald Trump is actually quite honest. And I think that the reason why people dislike him so much is that he's actually quite honest about what it is that he wants to see happen for the sake of America and for the sake of, you know, his own capitalism, and to hell with the consequences. If you look at Obama, George W. Bush, you know, Bush Senior, I mean, you know, going all the way back to, you know, the Iran-Iraq War back in the 1980s, all we see is a case of, you know, money and guns for hire and how to go about making more money by, you know, generating disruptions in the Middle East and going about trying to seize other people's natural resources. So I disagree. I think America, since, you know, at least, you know, a good 4 decades, you know, 5 decades, has been in the business of making wars and making money and actually making money on the blood of the innocent. I think that what we see today is kind of a realization on the part of the public that this is business as usual in Washington, and the people feel a little bit uneasy about it, because they have been told that, you know, America is actually promoting democracy across the world and that it's in the business of creating democracies around the world. This is not true at all. If it was true, America would have chosen a different partner than a violent theocracy, namely Saudi Arabia and others in the Gulf region, by the way, and would have instead chosen to ally itself with the like of Iran, because Iran is a republic and Iran is a democracy, you know, to only name this country, for example. So I think it's a little bit hypocritical. Again, I think that Donald Trump and his particular line of politics disturbs, because it's actually quite true in the sense that it rings true to the reality that is America's today. And it disturbs a lot of people. And if you look at the way that the European Union and Britain and other countries around the world are actually disengaging from America's policies and distancing themselves from Washington, is actually quite interesting. And I think that Trump's now reaction, or I would say kind of, you know, reactionary stance towards this admission that, in fact, yes, Saudi Arabia is guilty of murder, has a lot to do with the fact that, you know, for example, the Iraqi president was in Tehran calling for a new, you know, bloc, regional bloc in the Middle East that would constitute, you know, Turkey, Iraq, Iran, and Qatar, for example. The fact that Britain, you know, called for a greater, you know, rapprochement between Iran, the EU, and the UK, and, you know, and everything that goes along with it. So I think it's quite interesting. And I think we need to look at it this way rather than just, you know, see another, you know, Trumpism or another tweet that Trump kind of sent away, just, you know, that has nothing to do with world politics. I think it's very much related. It's just that he has a very particular way of looking at it, and it's a very selfish standpoint. But it doesn't mean that America is acting any differently than he did a decade ago, 2 decades ago.
Well, Brent, there are U.S.
Go ahead, wait a minute here.
Go ahead,
I would like to disagree with that 1,000%. Anybody who learns how to read in any language where they are literate can look at what happened under President Obama and compare it to what's happening under President Trump and understand that what's happening now is not the way America always is. That is so self-evidently false and cheap and untrue to say.
Really? Okay?
Now,
so Yemen,
everyone supported Obama, which... Hold on a second. Let me finish. I listened to you insult my country falsely, and I'm going to get a little bit of an answer here, okay? The fact of the matter is, I supported Obama. We lost in the presidential election last time when Hillary Clinton was defeated. We won in the midterm election a few days ago when the Democrats regained control of the House of Representatives. You will see a debate in this country, in America, as we're seeing around the world in the next presidential campaign. But anybody that has any intellectual honesty, any factual accuracy, any knowledge of what's happening. What Donald Trump is doing is not what Barack Obama did, not what John F. Kennedy did, not what Bill Clinton did, not what Jimmy Carter did, not what Franklin Roosevelt did. That is an abominable lie, and I'm fed up with people that go on television and tell that lie. What's happening is different, in my view, wrong. We're fighting it out here. But don't come and say that what Trump is doing is what Kennedy did, what Roosevelt did, what Clinton did, what
you
Obama did. That is simply
okay, go
not
ahead, Catherine.
True.
Go ahead, Catherine.
I'm just saying that, you know, your guest's reaction and the violence with which he's actually answering and you know, automatically labeling and basically inferring that
I don't know how to speak.
You know, you just said it's my turn to speak now. You know, it just, again, demonstrates, you know, case in point. I don't think I need anything to add. Is that America is so used to, you know, to being a bully and having people to bow down to its greatness that it cannot actually take criticism. I'm sorry to say, but you have declared more war than any other country in modern history. So yes, you're going to have to own up and actually take some responsibility to the blood that you have shed. And you cannot sit there and actually say that you are defending, you know, democracy and actually trying to promote anything that is fair and just in the world when you are trampling over international law. Donald Trump is merely following on the footsteps of the very institution that you have helped create. And by you, I mean the whole of America. You actually voted for Donald Trump. So you are literally stuck with someone that you elected in office. And I think he offers a mirror to America today. Whether you like the reflection that he's offering you is another question.
Okay, let me get back.
He was democratically elected, whether you like it or not.
Okay, let me move on. And Brent, there are U.S. Congress members now talking about sanctioning Saudi Arabia itself. Do you think that will really happen? Will it take place?
I think there's going to be a big debate about it. There have been some sanctions against some already in Saudi Arabia, but I think you have a lot of Republicans in Congress joining with a lot of Democrats in Congress who want to see more, and they want to see strong action. I don't know what the outcome is going to be. It could go either way, but there are Democrats standing with Republicans who want to speak out and act much more forcefully against what happened to Mr. Khashoggi, which we are all outraged about, and some of us don't say they give us oil and money, so we're going to look the other way. There's going to be a big debate about that has already begun. And there were Democrats and Republicans trying to challenge the do-nothing policy.
Well, Brent, isn't there a big difference between the American people? I hear what you're saying as far as the American people, but the politicians who are in Washington, because what we have seen, and whether we're talking about the Israeli lobby, the Saudi lobby, that money really does talk in Washington. And we know that Saudi Arabia gives a lot of money. Oh. So don't you think that, yes, that there is a debate, there are some talks about it, but there's no way that the U.S. is going to shoot itself in the foot. And actually, as Donald Trump said, Saudi Arabia is a very important ally, and he's talking about the hundreds of billions of dollars that the Saudis actually give to the United States.
Well, money is given to a lot of people in a lot of countries for a lot of reasons and has a lot of influence that I don't like. No doubt about that on anything. What we are beginning now in the United States, and we're beginning it, is a debate about what the U.S. response should be to what happened in the Khashoggi case, the murder. And there are Democrats and Republicans who want to do much more. We'll see what happens. I can't predict what's going to happen. But there is a debate that's long overdue. Now, my view is, no matter who the other country is, no matter what the crime, the United States of America and France and Britain and any other country in the world should never sell its soul and sell human rights to the highest bidder so we look the other way when somebody has enough money to buy silence. Now, some believe that. I'm against that. And we'll have to fight it out. But we're beginning a very important debate that I hope resounds around the world. We should not sell our soul on human rights for money or anything else.
Okay.
Period. That's my view. It's not the majority view, but it's being debated.
All right. Well, Catherine, what about that? Shouldn't sell its soul when it comes to human rights? When we look at the situation right now, what Donald Trump is saying and everything, basically, he's ready to support Saudi Arabia to the end, basically, as he said, to counter Iran. So where's the human rights in all of this, in your perspective?
I'm not quite sure. What I'm going to say is, like, yes, I absolutely agree. We need to stand, you know, on principle when it comes to human rights, and we shouldn't just give in to moral relativism. And this is what America has done, mainly most Western capitals have done over the past few decades. What is interesting is that, you know, the one country that actually called, you know, for following human rights and respecting human rights and defending human rights on principle is actually Iran. So there's an irony there that I think will be lost on Washington. But, you know, I do agree something needs to be done, but there's a great hypocrisy and we keep missing it. It's this kind of the elephant in the room. We talk about the murder of Jamal Khashoggi, which is a tragedy, I grant you. But, you know, there are other tragedies every day that are happening in Bahrain, that are happening in Syria and in Iraq and in Yemen, of course, that are directly linked to Saudi Arabia because of the ideology that they actually promote and have architected and continue to kind of train and fund Wahhabism. We never discuss this. I mean, one of the reasons why Jamal Khashoggi happened is because Saudi Arabia is a violent theocracy that is used to getting his way and murdering people when those people happen to disagree with it. And this is something that we don't talk about enough. You know, Jamal Khashoggi is one of many. He's just, you know, we talked about him because he represents somehow the establishment, you know, this elite that no one is ever supposed to touch. And he wasn't really a journalist more than he was a former intelligence official. And I think this is why his murder shocked a lot of, you know, Western officials and many countries around the world, including, of course, journalists, because they suddenly felt that, you know, if it's open season on the likes of Jamal Khashoggi, then what chance do they have to get, you know, to speak against Saudi Arabia? So I think this is why it created such a storm and why it continues to be at the core of the debate. But I think that this is just the manifestation, you know, of one of Saudi Arabia's, you know, great crimes. And there are graver crimes yet that we have to discuss. And we're not doing it properly, I think, because we're getting distracted by Jamal Khashoggi. And yes, it was a tragedy, but there are many lives that are being lost every day, every single hour. Some people are being imprisoned indefinitely in Saudi Arabia. We don't talk about this. We only talk about the fact that Saudi Arabia can throw money, should they throw money. You know, I don't think that money is really the issue here, because in this case, we need to have a very different debate. I think that what we need to think about is the way that we formulate our policies and the way that we formulate our friendships as far as foreign policies are concerned. And I'm sorry to say, but, you know, as far as the West goes, we have banked on the wrong horses. And Saudi Arabia is definitely not a front. And if anything, it will become a greater liability as we move forward, not just because of our energy reliance or because of the money entanglement that we have with Saudi Arabia, but okay, because of the morality that they have. And the
okay,
lack of
and sorry to interrupt you, Catherine, but we are out of time. Appreciate you being with us. Catherine Shockton, researcher, Al-Bayan Center for Planning and Studies out of London and out of Washington, D.C. Brent Podolsky, columnist of The Hill out of D.C. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. See you next time.